Okay, welcome to this weekend's episode of Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Thank you to our show sponsors, Rightful Liberty Arms, Shooting Performance Institute, Truck Envy, and Battle Born Tree Service. Let's jump into housekeeping because we have a special guest in studio today. So Dave, lay it on me. Commission notes, there were four things you wanted to hit real quick.
Commission going on right now, and it's a pretty light agenda this period, but there are four things that I kind of took out of here. It'd be beneficial for folks to know about this if you want to get online and check it out and get some of the data on it. They're going to be discussing the automatic rangefinder scopes, regulating those, and that is the scopes on the guns that now rangefind for you, as well as the archery sights that can produce a range for
the
you.
The Garmin.
Right, and then it automatically puts a dot on the glass where you need to aim.
Right.
So that's being discussed. And then also another workshop on the thermal imaging equipment. So this will be its final read.
Okay.
Then they're going to be doing the final workshop on the archery disability permit program in relation to removing crossbows from archery entirely and moving it to only legal weapons.
Good.
And then the next one is the revisions to the shed antler seasons.
Is that the, you can pick them up incidentally, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. I know what you're talking about there.
So those are the four main ones for this particular commission. Now, remember, the May commission coming up on the 8th and the 9th is going to be the quota setting commission, as well as I will be presenting a proposal to remove the 80% let off in our regulations for compound bows.
We're going to jump into our special guest, and then I got a question for him. Sincere thank you to Kevin Stang. You are the founder and owner of Team Whiskey, and that's kind of a multifaceted. You guys do the High Sierra shoots, I think everyone is familiar with. You also have a cancer foundation,
yep.
And you do a hunter mentorship program.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, thank you for coming on the show, sincerely.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
What's your let-off on your bow, Kevin?
It's like whatever it is, 90, whatever, 80, whatever. I don't know. I
mean, there we go. That was the answer.
That's the answer.
Dave and I have made the point on the show, and this is why I wanted to ask you that 95% of bow hunters don't know their let off, don't know whether or not they're in infringement, if they're technically illegal with their equipment. And it's such an arbitrary thing. Most bows now are coming at 90% let off.
Yeah.
And guys don't tinker with them. So to have that on the books as a law, that it can't be above a certain amount, to us seems absolutely ridiculous. And outside of that very niche world of target archery, nobody tinkers with that their stuff that much. So that was the answer I was looking for.
Most people have no idea. It's like 70-something percent don't even know what let-off is.
Yeah, well, you know, I can tell you that. So I haven't really been a guy that buys a new bow all the time.
Okay.
So I'm kind of the guy that I get gear and I use it. If it breaks, then I'll get new gear.
Time to start shopping. Okay.
So, yeah. So I'm definitely one of those guys. So I had the old DXT. I started with Bear bows back when I was 15 back in the 70s. Okay. So I can tell you that the let off has changed a lot since then.
Oh, yeah.
But I got to say, you know, for me, seeing at our shoots, the let off is a great thing because we have, you know, last year our youngest female owner was 7 years old, our oldest one was 72.
Whoa.
Okay. So, and then the percentage of women that are coming to our shoots now that are participating too. And I think, you know, the let off has done that. It's kind of like the same thing with every other sport. You know, we ski. The skis have changed.
They've made
it easier. The rocker, fatter underfoot. Look at the golf clubs. We got hybrid clubs now, and we got the big giant drivers. And, you know, look at the putters. They've changed so much. Yeah. And so I think anytime that the gear makes it easier for people to get out there, I think that's a good thing because, you know, especially in the hunting world.
Yes.
You know, me being at the age I'm at, I grew up, everybody hunted, and that's not the case anymore. You know, so it's like getting more people into it is going to help protect our rights.
Exactly. Absolutely. And the let off thing doesn't change the lethality of an arrow, the speed of an arrow, the power of the arrow. The thing is, you still have to pull 70. If it's a 70-pound bow, you still have to pull 70. Your holding weight's just a little less, which gives you a little bit more stability. There's a ton of studies on it, and that's the stuff I'll be presenting to the commission on May 8th.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a push that we all have to realize as hunters and outdoorsmen, whether you fish and you don't hunt and you hunt but you don't fish, I mean, and people that just camp, I mean, the more people we get into it, the more opportunities we're going to have to do it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And
yeah.
people kind of look at it the other way around. They're like, oh, there's so many people out hunting now and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, I still find places. I mean, I just started hunting public land in 2017. I grew up in Ohio, you know, whitetail hunting on private land. That's a completely different
animal.
It's a different ballgame.
Different monster,
You know, so for me, the more people that are out there doing it, the more opportunities we're going to have to keep our rights.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Oh,
and access to public land. I mean, that's the thing. I've been guilty of it just this last season. One of my favorite chucker spots were like three side by sides in there. And I was like, God, man, too many people. And so I've been guilty of that too. However, with what's going on right now with the sale of public lands and that stuff kind of getting looming, the more advocates we have for wild places, especially in the West, the better. So I'm on board.
Yeah, and that's why I said I think we're all together. Whether you just camp, you're just
whatever
a backpacker,
just,
you're
just
a hunter,
outdoorsy.
You're a fisherman, you know, you take your kids out for day hikes, whatever it is, we're all in the same boat.
Just want to get people out there, get them back out in the hills, no matter what they're doing.
Yeah, and for me, what I always say, like my nephew just visited me, and he didn't bring his daughters this time, but a couple years ago he brought his daughters. You know, they were 6 and 7 years old. You know, you do outdoor stuff. You remember that your whole life. He was talking about when I took him backpacking when he was 8. He's 42 now. So I took him when he was 8. He still remembers it like it was like yesterday.
Yeah.
You take him to the amusement park. You take him to a movie. You take him to the mall, whatever. Like, that all just blends into one dream, right?
Yeah,
you know, where you go backcountry and you do hunting or fishing. Those are things that you're going to remember for your whole life.
Yeah. And hopefully they stick with you and you continue that with your kids if you have them. With the time we have left on this first segment, the origin of the organization. What prompted you to start this foundation?
Okay, so it's a kind of a heartfelt story. So if I cry, you know, you guys can't see it out there in Radio Land, but, you know.
And I don't want to pick at scabs, but
Well, I can talk about it now. It took a while before I could talk about it. Well, 2017, we're on a high altitude hunt, really bad weather, wind, rain, snow, sleet, everything that you could imagine bad. And I knew it wasn't going to be a good hunt. Plus, we were taking somebody out that never hunted before. And there is a way of walking through the forest without, you know, letting everybody know you're there. And so I knew the best part was going to be the whiskey around the fire the night before. So we drank a bunch of whiskey. We actually did finish the bottle. We woke up the next morning, terrible weather, but we hunted. And just jokingly, I called us Team Whiskey on the walkie-talkies, keeping in touch, and kind of stuck. We made t-shirts, and that was in October 2017, stuck for the rest of the season. February 2018, we made t-shirts with this crazy, stupid logo on it, just as a joke for Inner Circle and family. And then 3.5 weeks after that, my wife got diagnosed with stage 3C metastatic ovarian cancer. So I had to rush her to the hospital, to the emergency room, threw a bunch of clothes in there. We're in there for 31 days. We're here at Renown here in downtown Reno. We got down to the point where after a couple of weeks, she mesized her intestine. She had to have a colostomy bag. And so it was a really ugly scene. And doctor said, you know, if you don't get her up and walk her, she's not getting out of here. Well, they weren't really getting her up and walking her. She was in not really good shape. They wouldn't give us a walker. We found a walker in an empty room on the oncology floor. Came back. By this time, the only thing we had left clean was these crazy Team Whiskey shirts, right? And so we just jokingly said, you know, Team Whiskey Physical Therapy is going to get you up and walk you as a joke. And she kind of laughed. And, you know, we did wind up, you know, going through the pain. It was a painful process. If anybody's ever been through it, trying to, you know, help somebody out that's in pain that you love is not an easy thing to do. So we did get her up and walk her. And once we started getting her out in the hallway, this is when the magic Team Whiskey happened. We just noticed that doctors that weren't our doctors, nurses weren't our nurses, they would stick their head in and say, hey, how's Team Whiskey doing? So then it kind of progressed that we'd go past the patient's room and we'd hear, hey, go Team Whiskey. And then we'd pass the nurse's station. So we just found it. The name and these crazy shirts was bonding everybody together on the oncology floor. Well, 31 days go by, she's getting out, she's able to walk, and they're like, well, she's not allowed to walk out on her own. So you got to wait here for a wheelchair. So we're waiting for a wheelchair. And she's like, you know what? We've been here for a month. I'm not waiting anymore. Let's go. So Team Whiskey fashion, we bounced. She walked out without a walker, without a wheelchair, nothing. Probably one of the proudest days of my life. So then we got out, we checked, nobody, you know, trademarked the name. And so we went through that process and we started our first event at the Fandango down in Carson City for their Memorial Day rib cook-off. And we had two hats and four t-shirts. And so we didn't know if people were going to like it, but what we found was wherever we went, people were bonded by Team Whiskey. And
you've grown a little bit since then.
Yeah, we've grown a little bit. Yeah. We started our first archery shoot in 2020. During COVID, we had the only event to happen. I pushed it through all the
good for you
people because I did everything. The funny thing about it was, and you guys are archers, so you can kind of probably appreciate this. So I even had hand sanitizer bottles at every target. Yeah. Every single one of those had an arrow hole in them.
Yeah. Yep.
So it was just kind of fun. I was like, the first one, you're like, oh, well, maybe somebody missed. And then you get to the next target as we're taking it out. I was like,
that's on purpose.
These were intentional. Especially the ones that were right in the middle of the bottle.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so we started doing those shoots, and even today, the one here at Heavenly, we do it at Heavenly now. It benefits the Give Hope Foundation here in Reno.
Oh, nice.
Very cool.
We started with them, and we started our own foundation in 2023, 2024, and we just couldn't be the people say, hey, we got our own foundation, you guys are out. So we use the other two events that we do at Bear Valley and at China Peak for our foundation to raise money. And so we do the same thing. We'll take over a bill and pay for somebody for up to 6 months, and that's going through treatment. So
awesome. Phenomenal.
I had no idea. No, I mean, that Team Whiskey was...
Yeah, most people don't because, for one, for the first couple of years of Team Whiskey, I couldn't even mention. We just tell people, go read the story about us.
Right.
It's, you know, I mean, you guys can see it's almost five years, and it's still an emotional thing, you know. So don't, you know, you spend 35 years of your life, and then, you know, it erases.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, more with Kevin Stang, founder of Team Whiskey. Welcome back to Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Kevin Stang, founder and owner of Team Whiskey, is in studio with us. Now, Kevin, sincerely, I appreciate you going through that on air. I know that was probably not the most pleasant of memories to go back through, but sincere thank you for doing that. And like Dave said at the end there, he had no idea how you guys started, why you guys started. And I think you guys do a lot of good. You just mentioned a family you helped last year with the foundation. Lighter note, let's talk about the Heavenly shoot this year.
The Heavenly shoot is going to be awesome. You know, that benefits the Give Hope Foundation here in Reno. We started with them in 2020 before we started our foundation. So we couldn't be the guys to say, hey, we got our own foundation, you guys are out. So, and we love working with them. We've learned a lot from them, how to do raffles and things like that. The cool thing about this year is we brought Shields in. Shields coming in as a course sponsor.
Oh, nice.
They're also going to, we have a split the pot shot at the bottom. So what it is, it's $10 a shot. You can shoot as many times as you want, but we're only going to let you shoot three at a time because we don't want some guy up there with his slider.
Micro-dialing
it in until he center punches it. And it's usually a full-size buffalo. We draw a little, the Sharpie, we draw a little crosshair in the center ring.
Okay.
And whoever's closest to it at the end of the day splits the pot with the foundation.
Oh, wow.
Something unique about this year is that Shields is going to provide the target. And from what I understand, it's going to be a Sasquatch. We've always used a buffalo. So they're going to use a Sasquatch. And then they're going to match up to $2,000 for the Give Hope Foundation. So
very cool.
If we get a $2,000 pot and then they split it, the foundation gets half, the winner gets half, they'll give $1,000 all the way up to $2,000. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's like bringing the community in. You know, we work with, you know, the Nevada Bow Hunters Association that you got me in touch with. You know, they're going to be there. We always tell people like that, these hunters and these archery clubs, you need to come to our shoots because our shoots are not competitions.
Right.
So this is all about fun. And this is all about getting people out there. Not saying it's not going to be challenging because we have, you get to the top, you get three courses. You get a black, a blue, or a green. If you haven't skied and you don't know what that is, that's, advanced, intermediate, and a beginner. The advanced and the intermediate, these are going to be hunter situations. You're never going to see the full animal.
Right.
Just like hunting. You'll never really see the full animal. You may only see the vitals in between some trees and rocks. It may take you a while to find it. The whiskey course, which is the advanced course, it's going to be 4 to 5.5 miles, and you're going to climb 1,500 vertical feet. We basically walk you up a Black Diamond run, and then the shots are between 60 and 100 plus yards. And then the intermediate course is probably 3 to 4 miles. There will be some climbing and side hilling, but basically those are going to be 30 to 60 yards. Some of them may be a little bit longer, but like I said, they're all going to be, you know, hidden shots. The family course, we don't call it the beginner course because first year we call it the beginner course. A lot of guys wouldn't do it.
Right.
Because of male ego. Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
But then it's funny because then they come and they do the whiskey course now and they lose a bunch of arrows and they get their butt kicked on the mountain. Then the next day they're like, yeah, I think we're going to try that family course today.
The hubris kind of slows down a little bit.
But I think one of the funnest ones, because we always get all this great social media coming from all the participants. And one guy, he did the whiskey course. He's like, last shot at the whiskey course. I got one arrow left. I'm going to call it a win.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And we put those shots out there because these shots you may not take until you learn that you can make them.
Right.
And the coolest thing about it is the feedback that we get from people. A couple years ago at the Bear Valley shoot, we had a group from Bakersfield come up with a bunch of kid 4-H shooters. And, you know, they came out, had a great time. And then, you know, afterwards we get an email from one of the kids and shows this picture with a mule deer shot in Colorado. He's like, you know, I would have never taken that shot if I didn't do your course. He goes, it was standing in between two trees. I didn't realize that I could make that shot.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That is so cool.
You know, so with that being said, don't bring your, you know, expensive arrows. You know,
Parallel pros.
I guess my parallel pros are going to sit at home.
$500 a dozen.
And the other thing of it is that we say, if you have to move close, because there's going to be some people come and they may not be the greatest archers, but they're fit and they want the physical challenge of the whiskey course.
Right.
Yeah.
So go do the whiskey course. Just whoever's shooting closest, if you have to move closer, just like a hunting situation, you know, move closer to the target. Whoever is moving closest, have them shoot last so we don't have to wait for you to walk back.
Yeah. Right. How many targets per course?
25 per course.
25 per course.
25.
And now it goes for 2 days.
Yeah.
You can mix and match, like say I want to shoot the whiskey course one day, the intermediate thing.
Yeah, you get to the top. And how we do that is, you know, so you guys have probably done a lot of shoots, of competitions. We do this a little differently. Whatever group you have and you get a lift time instead of like a tee time. Like
right.
Off,
okay.
You get a lift time. So all those groups, especially at the Heavenly shoot, because you're going up in a tram, right? So there's 45 people in a tram. All those groups you go up with Saturday, they will be going, you'll be going up the same ones on Sunday. So everybody likes to run and do the whiskey course. I want to do the hardest course the first day. You go there, there's a line on that, go to one of the other courses. Come back to it the next day because you're going to be going up with the same people. It's our way of trying to have a team effort of trying to keep the backup down.
Yeah.
So like, hey, you know, like I know now there's a line on that course. Tomorrow, there's probably not going to be a line there because everybody's like running
already
through that
shot
course.
It. Yeah. So the whiskey course is probably on Saturday is probably the fullest.
Well, it depends because a lot of people have gotten their butts kicked on the whiskey course and they won't go back to it.
Okay.
Because some people say, you know, like, oh, well, I had one guy email and he said last year, he's like, well, the whiskey course after the 9th shot, it just seemed like punishment from the shots and from the hiking. And then he said the intermediate course was too easy. And I really feel like Sam's like, well, train harder. What I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like find your happy median. It's all about having fun.
Right.
And then when you get to the bottom, we have live music. We got that split the pot shot. We have vendors and of course our whiskey and, you know, we have a lot of fun. So it's all about having fun. But then while we're having this fun, we're helping families.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, it's almost like the forgotten thing because everybody's having so much fun, but they don't realize like, you know, we do these things, we help families. And our foundation this year, we had a family reach out to us. They were from Florida, found out through our brand ambassadors network. And by the time they got to us, they were in pretty bad shape. Father broke his back. Blue collar worker, wife was taking care of him. She wound up having a mild heart attack and Bell's palsy. While she was going through that, the son wound up getting stage 4 Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Oh, geez.
So by the time they got to us, of course, they went through their savings. They didn't know anything about us.
Right.
And then all of a sudden we look at them and we're like, well, yeah, we could, they're behind 4 months on everything. We're like, we could pay for their mortgage or rent or, you know, or we could just, let's just pay for everything. So
yeah,
we got the money. I mean, yeah, it was a little bit more than like what we would normally do, but we can do that. because we're humans and we can make a human decision. And to us, that was the human decision, was like, here you go. You got a fresh slate.
A little bit of breathing.
That is awesome.
Yeah, good for you guys.
That's such a good feeling, I bet.
Yeah, and it's also hard because like when you talk to people, I know exactly what they're going through because I've been through it. So it's hard not to go back. And I'm an emotional guy. So like I'm not afraid to admit it. You know?
Yeah, no. Understood,
But I can be tough, you know.
You mentioned Florida and back east and stuff. Now, I know the TAC event, which I would probably call like most similar to what you guys do. That's across the country, it seems like now. I mean, I think I saw a TAC shoot in Alabama or something like that.
Yeah, they got them all over.
Tennessee, all over,
Any intentions of growing beyond, because I know you're a local guy, South Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
So I know Heavenly is like your backyard and Bear Valley and all that. Any intention to grow, start expanding eastward? Or?
Yeah, there's been some resorts that have reached out to me.
Okay.
So it wasn't something that I definitely want to go back to the Midwest.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, that's where I'm originally from. I'm working with a resort there in the Midwest just because, one, there's more archery people back there.
100%.
Oh my gosh.
You know, because, you know, growing up in Ohio, the reason I started archery hunting at 15 years old was because you get 1 week with a shotgun.
Right.
You get 3.5 months with a bow. So.
And a lot of places don't let you shoot a gun because you're on ranch land or farmland and you can't.
Yeah. Ohio's a little different. I mean, I'm sure now, you know, we all know about the hunting leases and everything. So that's changed.
It's still a straight wall state. I just took my daughter back to Licking County a couple of years ago, and that was the first time I'd ever heard that term. But the outfitter says, oh, yeah, well, just so you know, it's a straight wall state. Straight wall state?
What does that mean?
You cannot use a neck down center fire cartridge.
Yeah.
It's not like out here where guys are dialing in their 7 PRC to hit stuff at 600 yards.
Yeah.
That's not even a thing there.
You know, when I was a whitetail outfitter, being in the woods for 3.5 months, you know, and that's what I ate was venison. So it's like I was able to harvest a lot of deer. And in Ohio, I think the farthest I ever shot one was like 80, 90 yards. And that was with a slug. And archery was usually like 15, 20 yards.
Oh, yeah. Some of those folks, man, when you tell them you're out in the West and, oh, yeah, I've taken my furthest shot on a deer is 82, or they're completely mind-blown. They're like, what are you talking about? Why would you do that?
82 yards, yeah.
Why in the world would you ever do that?
We have got to take a quick break. Do not go anywhere. Keep those radios tuned to 99.1 or 92.3 FM Talk. Hey, welcome back to Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Special guest today on the show is Kevin Stang, founder and owner of Team Whiskey. How do people get in touch with you? We kind of glossed over that stuff.
Team-whiskey.com is our website. That's where you can get tickets and all of our gear. You can find our whiskey, which we do have a really good bourbon, which you're going to find out here shortly.
Amen.
You can go to Team Whiskey Liquors. There's also a place that you can go. Not yet. We got a new website coming out, and there'll be a place on our website too that you'll be able to click on the liquor section, and it'll take you where you can go buy your bottle and get it delivered to you.
Okay, it is available locally. Like if I went to, I won't mention any names, but one of the liquor stores locally, I could track it down.
Yeah, here in Reno, we got a pretty good foothold in it. Actually, I'll be doing a whiskey tasting tomorrow.
Where at?
At Lee's Discount Liquor.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
How do I go about signing up for the shoot?
Go to team-whiskey.com, go to the High Sierra Archery Shoot tab, click on that, pick your shoot that you want to do. We have single-day tickets, two-day tickets. I will say two-day tickets get priority on lift times. I was just explaining to you guys before the way that we do that, especially at Heavenly, because every 15 minutes we have a tram going up that has like 45 people in it. So the two-day tickets will go up first. The one-day tickets will go afterwards. And why we do that is so that the same groups that you go up with on Saturday will be the same groups you go up with on Sunday. Therefore, if one course is crowded, go to another course. And then the next day, you'll be able to go to the course that you wanted to do without a line. So,
how big are the group sizes?
We try to keep the shooters to 6.
Okay, groups of 6.
Groups of 6. Now, sometimes we have these people that group together, and we try to, you know, there will be more policing out. We'll have more marshals this year.
Okay.
Out on the courses to try to keep everything flowing as smoothly as possible. And we do have people, you know, They'll be sitting there waiting. And it is really what Team Whiskey's about. Because some of these people, they meet on the course.
Right.
Then the following year, they group themselves together. They buy their tickets and get themselves grouped together. And the way that works is, let's say you guys have a group of five and you don't want to pay for everybody's ticket. So you can go buy your ticket and say, I have a group of five. There's a place in there when you fill out your ticket that says, I will also have so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And then they'll go buy their ticket. They're say a group of five, and then we put you guys all together.
Gotcha.
Oh, that's cool. Kind of almost like a BTB where you can, when you register, if you have a group,
they have team names or group names.
You just follow and you.
Then when we put you all together, it's usually the Monday before the shoot, we'll send out your lift time. And then your groups are together. And then, of course, there's always mistakes made.
Yeah.
We do drink whiskey.
And we're human.
Yeah. So, but we can always correct it at the registration booth, and I work the registration booth, so I make sure that everybody is getting up and they're together. So.
How many people does something like this take to pull off?
Well, that's the other thing. We call it the zoo crew. So we have usually two groups of five setting targets because we do have, you know, especially at Heavenly, they're very strict on where we can ride our UTV. So that means hauler packs and you're carrying foam animals. And we always have a lot of jokes about it. We had a couple of young Argentinian kids helping us last year. They showed up at Heavenly wanting to run up the mountain. I said, well, you know, I got a job. You guys looking for work? And they're like, yeah, you know. And so the big joke with one of them was like, you got to carry every cougar. We're training you for the clubs at the casinos. We're strapping every cougar on your back.
That's awesome. That's cool.
So two teams of five setting targets. What about on the back end? Like you said, you work the registration booth.
Yeah, we have people working our booth. We have volunteers from Give Hope and from our foundation that are out on the course and making sure everybody's getting out there. We have people roaming the course too with UTVs, making sure there's some beverages out there for you. So
nice.
We always recommend bring 3 liters of water, especially if you're doing the whiskey course.
Right.
But we'll have people out there with Gatorades and waters and stuff complimentary from Team Whiskey.
Okay. You keep talking about like, so there's no backups. There's no, man, I think maybe I'm just used to that from shooting Redding and all that.
There is backups. That's why we always try to say, you know, if there is a course that you see, because that's what happens. Somebody's like,
How big of a backup?
It depends. It usually what really causes the backup usually is people themselves. Cause it's supposed to be one shot per target. Yeah. And then we have people taking more than one shot. And I understand the mulligan, right? Like, you know, you want to redo it, but you know, if you're hitting the target and you're hitting it good and then you're still taking another shot, you know, you're just kind of being greedy. So we run into some of that. So, you know, that's the other thing. And then the other thing of it is the physical ability. The whiskey course is very difficult hiking. So there will be a backup of that because you know, I started hiking, take 15 people and hike them up a Black Diamond run. There's probably going to be a wide variety of times that are going up that hill. So, you know, so it's a lot of it's the human factor, but that's why we do what we do is to try to say, hey, you know, you're going up with the same group. So if you show up at, you know, your lift time and you go up there and you see everybody went to that course, it's like, well, why?
Go do something else.
Go do something else. Unless you want to wait, you know, and like go wait. But usually with the 15 minutes spread out, if people get on it right away and they're, you know, boom, we have people up there directing where the start of the courses are. They get on it right away. By the time the next tram gets up there, those people are already dispersed.
Going to the next target.
So, you know, it's never a perfect system. You guys have done these before. It's also, too, it's, you know, free throws, tee box. I mean, how much time do you spend, right?
Yeah, you know.
There's guys that have to range it. You know, they got to go through this whole process.
Double check. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you can't stop that. I mean, me, I just go up and shoot, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, and for me, the other thing of it is that you don't really have that much time in a hunting situation, do you? I mean,
to range
it and I'm going to hit my slider up and, you know, and then I'm going to rearrange it. And, you know.
Yeah. And then just double check that I slid it correctly.
Yeah.
And
you know, you don't really have that time. So that's really what causes the backup is the human factor. We do everything we can to spread everybody out. So it's the same amount of people going up. So like even if we have low numbers at an event, we'll still spread out the lifts, give you more time.
Gotcha.
Okay.
to get from target to target. And the other thing is, I didn't mention about the human factor, is the looking for the arrows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's probably the biggest one.
Okay.
So, like, you know, we always say, you know, we're making these shots tough. This is what you want, as, you know, we're doing the work for you to go out and enjoy this. Don't bring your high quality arrows.
Yeah, you know, said
bring a lesser arrow. You know, don't be afraid to let it fly. And as always, if you need to move closer, move closer. But, you know, if you're looking for your arrow for 5 minutes, you're holding up, you know, people behind you. So it's just, it's like a common courtesy thing.
Take the L and move on.
That's it. Just let it go. Leave it alone. Yep. Yeah, because in some of the bigger competitions, you've got the groups of the pros.
And they got to find our delay, the ring.
And our delay is, for them, is their letdowns. They'll let down two or three times and then reevaluate the target and then draw again. And you're like, oh, dude, come on.
Yeah. That's why something like this appeals to me, because
this is great.
I'm not looking for a scoring ring. I'm not, you know,
Are you even keeping score? I mean, you can keep score, but
there's
a
lot of competition in between the groups themselves.
Right.
It's like there's some groups that come every year and there's like some money flying out there.
Okay.
But that's within your group. Yeah. We're not going to give you a participation award. We're not going to give you an award, but now on the split the pot shot, you have a chance to win some money.
Right.
So now you're looking at a much bigger payoff, and it's a bigger payoff for the foundation.
Yeah.
Right.
That makes sense.
We have got to take another break. Final segment of the show coming up in just a minute. Do not go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Final segment of Nevada Backcountry. Thank you to our show sponsors, Rifle Liberty Arms, Shooting Performance Institute, Truck Envy, and Battleborn Tree Service. And sincere thanks to all of you who take the time out of your weekend to tune in. Before I forget and we go off in some direction I don't intend, we are here with special guest Kevin Stang, founder and owner of Team Whiskey. Kevin, what are the dates of the Heavenly Shoot this year?
The Heavenly Shoot is May 30th and 31st. We will have live tickets for sale up until the Friday before the week before the shoot. That way, because we put everybody on a lift time.
Okay.
And so we have that schedule come out on Monday before the shoot. The Bear Valley is June 13th and 14th. And then the China Peak is July 17th and 18th.
It's going to be a packed summer for you.
Yeah, and we have some really cool things. We're bringing in the Moonshine Bandits for Bear Valley and China Peak, if you haven't heard them. They're very patriotic. They kind of vibe with us, I think, really good.
Okay. So, very cool.
So this is the first time we're bringing in kind of like a regional act. They're from Los Baños, but man, they tour all over. They just were, I think, last weekend at Eric Church's bar in Nashville.
Cool.
So they're not a, you know, a local guy.
Right. The local high school teacher and his friends or something.
Yeah.
One aspect of Team Whiskey that we haven't gotten into yet, you guys do a hunt mentorship program, and I want to ask you the mechanics of that and how you got started doing that. We've had, four or five different guests on the show, new hunters, people new to hunting, and it's a common refrain. Nevada provides a hunter safety, and then it's kind of like you get kicked out of the nest. Hey, go figure it out. So how did you guys get started doing that?
Well, mainly because a lot of my son's friends were in their 30s and, you know, they're listening to the Rogan podcast and they're talking about Cameron Haynes, which I had no idea who that guy was because I never did social media until we started this business in 2019 was the first time I ever did it. And I heard about him, but I didn't know who he was. And so they all started getting into hunting. And so, you know, we took them out and I realized, like, there's a need for this because there's people that are interested in it and there is no mentor apprentice program for adults. There's plenty of them for kids, which is great because that's where we need to start. But here's the beauty of our mentor apprentice program. We're getting people that are adults. So we're getting two generations with one because they usually have kids. So you're getting, we're going deeper and it's a lot of it is just schooling them on gear, schooling them on how to sight in a weapon. I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, they teach in hunter safety, but some things they don't teach, you know, and the whole safety of it. Me, myself, I've taken five different people out mentoring them over the years. I've gotten four of them kills on public land with archery equipment in California. One was, we had a girl. She called us one time when we first started. She's like, hey, do you guys need a model? I was like, yeah, but you know, we don't have no money to pay. And she's I just like the brand, so I'll do it. And so then we paid her back. We took her on a guided pig hunt.
Oh, very cool. Okay. So like, yeah, so a little
like,
barter.
Yeah. Yeah. We're like, hey, we got a way to pay you.
You guys, I mean, you said you do it yourself. Do you have like a crew of people where you're like, yeah, he knows what he's doing. You'll be a mentor.
Well, what we do is we have a mentor application on our website.
Okay.
And an apprentice application. And what we try to do is we try to match them up in state because, you know, we all know, like, there's no way I can remember every law. I can't even keep up with the laws in a couple states that I hunt.
Right, you almost
need an attorney, right?
Yes.
Like, to make sure that you don't do something stupid that you had no idea that you were doing wrong.
Like we started the show on. Yeah. What's the let-off in this state? What's the let-off in this? Yeah, yeah.
Well, and it's the expandable broadheads, the fixed broadhead, you know? Right. Like, so we try to hook people up with state. But to be quite honest with the people that we're getting that are really interested are here in this area.
In the Western Nevada area?
Yeah, this part of Nevada and California. And, you know, so a lot of people don't realize. So there's a lot of people. And you know, a lot of it's instructing them on gear. Like for me, I was a whitetail hunter. And even though I've lived out here for 26 years, I didn't start hunting here until like 8 years ago. So my first time out hunting, all I had was whitetail gear. I was telling you before, I was going up the mountain. I was like, well, this has got to go. You know?
Yeah.
So it was like, I would have, somebody's hunted my whole life. I would have loved to had some kind of mentor apprentice program that I could have dialed up. Somebody's like, hey, dude,
you don't need this.
You come over, you know, can you help me out? Like, you know, with gear and, you know, like I never used optics. You didn't need optics back in Ohio, you know,
right.
Shooting deer from 15, 20 yards. What do I need binoculars for?
And then you get out here to a state like Nevada or even California where it's like, oh my gosh, I think my vehicle is cheaper than the optics I've got.
Yeah.
And that stuff is important out here.
You know, with Vortex, there's a lot of good lines out there that aren't so expensive. I mean, do you need the Swarovski? You know, they'd be great, but
I waited till I was 40. And then I took that leap.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, just leading them in that direction. You know, do you need a $2,000 bow? They go into a bow shop. Chances are they're going to try to sell them an expensive bow.
Flagship model.
That's what they do. You know, give them that information that, you know, there are other options out there that are not going to break the bank.
Right.
Not saying it's cheap. And you know, with those five people we've mentored, you add up, you know, UTVs, hunting license, clothing, weapons, gear, all that goes into it. Look what just those five people, well over $100,000 into gear and equipment, which helps fuel this industry, which helps keep our hunting rights alive by bringing people into it. And I know I've had people come in and they've talked to me and they're like, well, you know, I'd like to do the mentor, but, you know, I don't know if I want to teach somebody or, you know, show them different places. And I was like, well, then you're probably not the guy, the mentor, you know, but there's going to be a good guy. I think. And when you get to like my age, I just like to see people out doing it. I just like being out there. I get enjoyment of just being out there. It doesn't really come about getting the harvest, getting more people out there and then seeing them. And we've all been it there, right? We've all been that beginner guy. Well, I got to have this gear. And you see them getting excited about the gear, see them getting excited about like showing you their groupings and, you know, and it, like that, you know, kind of fuels me because it was like, wow, I remember this.
I remember that. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know,
the first time you figured out, oh, I can actually shoot a group at 80 yards with a bow. Oh, okay. Yeah. Now, how many people have you guys put through that program?
We've put through like over 40.
Over 40. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've had people, we've hooked up people in different states. You know, we're just getting our website redone. So a couple things we're going to be going hard with that is the mentor apprentice program, trying to get more people into it. We get more apprentices than we do mentors.
Oh, I could see that. Yeah.
Okay. So everybody that I try to, if I don't have anybody in the state, I talk to them personally.
Right.
I take my time out of my time. Like the years that I mentored people and they got, I didn't get anything,
right.
But I call it an assist.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? You still get a point for that.
Yeah. And, you know, I was a soccer player. So sometimes the assist, you beat more people with the assist than you do actually scoring a goal.
Well, and I would tell people too, on your point about like, well, I don't want to cough up. Look, man, nobody's asking you to cough up your honey hole
right.
that you have like a 200-inch public land buck on.
Yeah.
You know, like, go find some deer. They're going to be happy with whatever. They just want to get out and do it. So, yeah, you don't have to cough up like something that costs you years of your life to find.
Yeah, there's one girl in particular. She reached out to us and she was getting into archery because she was PTSD from military. She came to our shoot and then it like opened her up and she was getting so much resistance. She's a single mom with a daughter. She's like, well, how do I do it? You know, and I, you know, I was working with her and she was showing me some things that where she was hunting. And I was like, yeah, those look like good areas. You can get in there, BLM, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then she went in there. She's like, you know what? She's like, you know, I don't even think, you know, I could even walk in those areas because she'd never really done anything like that before. Then she came to our shoot. And when she showed up, I kind of knew that she was going to get her butt kicked, right? You can tell by like somebody's fitness, like, okay, well, some people are going to like it. Some people are going to hate it, right?
Yeah.
And she came down from that shoot and she said, you know, I want to tell you, because she goes, those places I told you I couldn't walk when I hunted, she goes, that's nothing compared to what I just did.
Yeah.
So that's the beauty of the shoot and that's the beauty of the apprentice program. Now, the beauty of that is she has a daughter. So she's like, well, I can't get anybody to watch my daughter. It's like, well, take her with you.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
You may not get anything, and she, you know, but you know, you're going to be at least get out there, and anything can happen when you're out there, right? We've all heard the story of the guy. He just bought a gun. He's never hunted before. Next thing you know, he's shooting like a 180-inch deer.
Yeah,
you know, because he just walked out. You know, so anything can happen, right? One of the cutest things was she sent me a video. They finally came across some deer. And her daughter started running at him. I was like, well, she's a hunter. Like she's a hunter. Like she started running after him. She's a hunter. So,
well, Kevin, plug the dates one more time. Plug the website. How do people sign up for these shoots?
All right. So Heavenly Valley, May 30th and 31st. Bear Valley, June 12th and 13th. China Peak, July 17th and 18th. Team-whiskey.com. Click on the High Sierra Archery Shoot tab, pick your ticket. The beauty about our shoots is that, you know, we have six shooters in a group, but you can bring a bunch of people with you who want to walk. And the walkers are only $15. Make it a family day. And that's really kind of the difference between our shoots and other shoots is that ours are really family events.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man,
yeah,
Kevin,
awesome.
Sincere thank you for coming on the show today. Thank you for doing this.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for helping me get the word out. Help us help other people. And then in the meantime, let's all have fun.